I'll say it. College is a waste of money.
Yep, agree.
But let's differentiate between
an education.
A college degree
yes.
and an education.
Yes.
Because there's a big difference.
Welcome to the Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It's a Disruption Zone. I'm Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills.
Hey, buddy.
I think it's time we talk about education, don't you?
Oh, it's long past due that we talk about education. Yeah.
Before we do, let's thank some people.
Okay,
appreciate
always.
Dynamics Productions here in Lexington. For helping allowing us to use their studio for our photo shoot because we're so glamorous. I like to put a little music bed under you sometimes because it makes it a little more listenable when you're talking.
I'll tell you what it does. It makes it dramatic.
Also, Hunter Mitchell for his photography services. We appreciate him. And, of course, iHeartRadio and iHeartMedia for its user facilities.
iHeart's been very supportive.
Because otherwise we'd be just two guys standing on the street corner banging a tin can.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I would probably write a sign that says, we need work.
There are certain people.
We'll podcast for food or for money.
There are certain people, and I believe you and I are among them, that just have to talk. Whether we have anything to say or not, we talk.
And whether we're getting paid
now,
to say it.
I don't think that's necessarily a noble thing about us.
No.
I would like to be able
it's probably
to be
annoying.
It probably is to a lot of people, especially when we talk over each other, as we are wont to do. I would like to be a better listener.
Right.
But I believe I have a lot to say.
Well, you can practice today and I'll do the whole show.
I take that back. I know I have a lot to say. I'm not sure how much of it is worth listening to, but I have a lot. Listen, I'm analytical. I sit back and I watch things. And then I want to comment on them.
Right.
That's just my life. Now, imagine living with me.
That's what
this
you
do.
This
is why my dogs start out in bed with me at night when we go to bed.
And leave.
And then eventually they're gone. They've had enough.
Well, that's the life of a talk show host, I think. So, education.
Yes.
Let's start this.
Or lack thereof.
Well, okay, because I'll just make this. I'll make the textbook says you're supposed to make a controversial statement and then build the case from there. So I'll say it. College is a waste of money.
Yep, agree.
But let's differentiate between
an education.
A college degree.
Yes.
And an education.
Yes.
Because there's a big difference. And I do think there's a trend right now. I think it's finally starting to come to the surface where there's so much college debt. The college debt bubble is like almost the size of the – I mean, it's like $4 trillion. Incredible.
I think to clarify what you're – not that you're not saying it clearly, but I am in my ear right now, I know we're going to get people saying, how dare you say college is wasting money?
Oh, yeah.
Let's say what we mean. College – the way it is today, an education in college is valuable. It's wonderful.
Sure, sure.
It's not worth $200,000.
No, it's not.
If it puts you – if the point of college – and this is – let me tell my story I was telling you earlier. This is what got me thinking about this years ago. Many people know, okay, I went to University of Kentucky. Okay, I went there not for an education. Okay, I went there to play basketball. That is the only – hear me say – only reason I went there. Now, I wanted an education, and I loved class because class was my respite. My professors didn't yell at me the way my coaches yelled at me. So when I got to go to class, that was the peaceful time of my day. I love doing that, and I love learning, and I love psychology, and that's why I wound up majoring in psychology. And I wound up getting this degree that they tell you, in the psychology track, they will tell you, yeah, you'll be able to do nothing with this degree. A BA in psychology, the professors will tell you. What will they tell you? You have to
wait a minute. What is it the foundation for?
What? It's a BA in psychology?
Right, because if you go to pre-med in college, you can do nothing with that unless you go on to med school.
Exactly.
Is that what that's about?
Here's what they are expecting you to do, and I find this interesting. You get a BA in psychology. Number one, you're just getting a degree. Now, to some employers, that's all they want. That in and of itself is somewhat ridiculous, okay? I worked for a company one time that they would not hire anyone who did not have a college degree. And I'm like, what if they're amazingly talented?
That's the dumbest.
It's absurd.
Don't let me forget to come back to that. I want you to finish your story.
Fortunately, they changed that policy when they realized how stupid and how much they were
limiting
themselves.
Yeah, but most companies haven't.
No, that's absurd. What is that?
I'll come back to that.
We get into so many different
sides. I've got an opinion about that.
Basically in psychology – is a BA in – now this may have changed, but I don't believe it has. As a matter of fact, I it may have gotten worse. They will tell you, and I think it's funny that they tell you this. They will tell you, now, you all can go ahead and you can get your BA in psychology, but you're not – there's no job for you after that. You're going to have to get a job marketing. Mm-hmm. Marketing is the fail-safe job of anyone who goes to a liberal arts institution. What are you going to do? Why I get a job in sales or marketing? That's what you wind up doing.
Right.
Look, if you have to have CEUs for your learning basis.
Continuing education.
Yes.
Credits,
if you have to, then there is some merit to what you learn in college. If they cut you off when you get your degree and say, all right, you're educated.
Right.
Then there's no merit to what you've learned.
Okay,
but wait a minute. Let me finish the story.
All right.
So basically what they said is
that is the longest story preview ever.
I know. Well, I keep getting – look, I'm so passionate and frustrated and angry about this whole process
right.
and this whole idea in our country that you have to – that in order – that there is something called an education. And you don't have an education unless you have a college degree. And if you don't have a college degree, then I'm sorry, you don't have an education.
Yeah.
That is the biggest bunch – get your beep button ready. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agree.
So basically, I go to UK. I get a BA in psychology. They tell me in the psychology department, this will prepare you for nothing going forward. You have to get a PhD in psychology to use your degree in psychology in psychology. Well, guess how much a PhD is? You can't even get a master's in psychology and actually be able to use your degree.
Right.
Now maybe that's changed. At the time, you had to have a PhD before you could be a clinical psychologist, before you could be a professor. Well, and I always loved that idea. Well, you know, is it the political science? What are you going to do? I'm going to teach other students political science when you get your PhD in political science. It just bothers me.
I think that's what you're getting at. There's a lot of tracks of these liberal arts colleges that it's permanent school, and so you're a professor.
It's a money maker.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Absolutely.
And our government's involved in it. And look, at one point, it was valuable. It was important. It was worthwhile. It was noble. Now it is a gimmick.
Well, it is.
And it bothers me.
Well, and there's several reasons why it's a gimmick. One of them is because political correctness has seeped into the college campus.
Yes. Well, that's part of it.
And now,
that's a whole other side
of it.
Well,
but it's a huge side of it.
Because
when I went to college at a private liberal arts school.
Yes.
I feel like I got a well-rounded education. I had to take classes about world history, American history,
and
biblical history.
A lot of what you learn there in what you do
for a
living.
It gives me a sort of a full, broad sense of the world in which I live and operate. That's fine.
Wait a minute. It's not just fine. It's incredibly important.
But here's the thing. The college I went to taught me how to think critically.
Yeah.
I had professors from all different political spectrums.
Were you challenged?
Yes.
Challenged.
Yes, and we're not doing that today, I don't think.
No, we are giving one way of going. This is what it is. And we're taking science. Science very rarely comes to a definitive conclusion. That's why there's theories of evolution. Because now, they may wind up being accurate, true, and fact. But there are always other scientists that come in these peer-reviewed journals and say, yes, but what about this? What about this? Your study is flawed in this area. We wind up doing it backwards, it seems like sometimes, where we wind up saying, this is what I want the conclusion to be. Therefore, I'm going to skew my study to get me to that point. And that's a whole other issue, too.
Well, let's get into a few of these, but let's start with a couple of statistics. You were just looking at the numbers because I think this should establish why we're saying what we're saying. And again, I just want to reiterate, neither you nor me are anti-education. In fact, we're very pro-education.
Not even remotely
but we want education to be just that.
An education.
And a lot of what we're seeing in college, you might get one.
That's
but the
way.
Price tag that goes along with it is so insane. And you mentioned the government involved.
Yeah.
Here's part of the problem, because you're going to cite some statistics here on prices.
Now,
but here's the reason why
those
statistics exist.
Yeah.
The government says everybody needs to go to college because that's the key to success.
I hate that.
So let's give them all free or low interest rate loans and let's pump that straight to the college. And the college knows this. So the college, basically, when you have free money floating out there, the prices go up because the money's available. It's not coming from the real market. The market would be the parents and kids deciding, I want this education because it's worth X to me in the real world.
Right.
The market is being driven by the government saying, here's a loan, shut up and take it. And when you can go in, when I was a freshman, I went on a college campus, and one of the first things they had for freshmen was a credit card symposium where kids could go get a free T-shirt and a free pizza.
Sir.
For a credit card, and that ruined my credit for like 10 years.
Down at the free speech area of the University of Kentucky, five different credit card companies loaded up, ready to go. I wasn't prepared for that. Well, my dad was there with me, and he said, you know what, it might not be a bad idea to establish your credit, but we're not doing it here.
Right. So the point I'm trying to make is, and I want to let you give some of these statistics on costs, but that's the reason why the government's involvement is part of what drives these costs to where they are.
Well, look, it's not, and that is part of it. It's not the cost that bothered me so much. It's the inaccurate information that the only way to get an education is through one of our institutions of higher learning.
Right.
Okay. It's that line from Good Will Hunting. Okay, that you could spend $200,000 at a amazing school in Boston, which that's all they have is colleges in Boston, or you can go to the library and check out a book and read it.
Right.
That's the same thing.
Right.
Or you can buy, by the way, how about this nonsense, a textbook for $300 that your professor, has written, and you can go by what he or she says, and then you get to sell that textbook back to university for how much?
But see, the professor, who's never actually done anything in the real world, is stamping his approval on you so that you know the material now to go out into the real world.
And they're not even doing that. They're not stamping an authentic approval, because you know how many classes I had to attend? I remember going to one of my favorite classes. This is why I say education is so valuable. If you're actually learning, if you're going to university and you're actually attending class and you're interacting with your professor and you're going to office hours and you're getting involved and you're arguing with them, again, in a polite higher learning manner of, what about this, what about this? And you're challenging each other, and he is making you critically think about things. That's valuable.
Right.
Okay. Now, you may or may not get that at a library. You probably could, because I imagine a good book that shows two sides of one issue is going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
But my problem is I show up at the University of Kentucky, my freshman year probably more than any other year, freshman year, do you know how many classes I had to that had mandatory attendance? One.
Right.
And you know what they said? They were all lecture hours, classes, where it would be 300 students in the Whitehall classroom building. You would line up. The professor would have no idea who was there. And here's what would happen. He would lecture for an hour. Fascinating lectures. I remember, I'll never forget, my favorite class at UK was U.S. history from birth to 1865. And then history 102 or whatever it was, U.S. history from 1866 on. Loved that professor. Loved that class. Found it fascinating. Did not ever miss it. Half the class was never there. They bought the notes. They bought the Cliff Notes. They bought the syllabus. They aced the test. Did they learn?
Money making.
Or did they regurgitate what the professor wanted them to learn?
Right.
Were they interacting with him? Were they asking questions? It's just a shame. Now, look, there is a place for college. But here's what I wish would happen in this country. Because I remember in high school, we were divided up in high school as in college prep, not college prep. College ready, not college ready. College material, not college material. And the college material kids, which was me and a bunch of my friends, okay, we had given some extra special attention. The kids that weren't college prep, that weren't college material, they were basically ignored. Because you can't get an education in this country unless you go to college. That's the feeling, and that's what bothers me.
Well, I think we got to get rid of the fact that you're not college material should be taken as an insult.
But it is.
I know, but it shouldn't be.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is that there are, you know, we can talk about tech schools for a little bit, but let's broaden this out a little bit. I think we're about to experience, I think, a massive workforce shift.
I think we're in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've told some people the other day that we were having this conversation. I was like, you had better be prepared to be flexible from an education standpoint, yeah, right? Nothing that I learned in my communications degree led to a single thing that I have done in the communications industry.
Okay, and that's what's insane to me, Leland, because when I said earlier, I said, but Leland, you actually took some classes at Asbury. I don't know if you wanted to mention your school, but it's Asbury.
I love my school, but
I love your school, too. You actually mentioned some your classes that you took, and I'm thinking, well, Leland's in communication. He's in media. Asbury has an amazing media school. So you had to have taken some classes that led you into, that helped you with your career, and now you're saying no.
No. I mean, because one of the first things I learned when I went onto campus was that there were two things that I could do. I could go to class and pay attention and join in on the student program productions.
Right.
Which I did the first semester.
And I would
semester.
Imagine that would be some value, because that's learning on
it
the
wasn't.
Job.
No, really? That's the point. There was no learning on the job. I realized right away that the kids that were in charge of the school projects.
Yeah.
Were seniors who had never done anything in the real world. And I said to myself, why am I sitting in here pretending to learn from these guys that have never done a single thing in this industry? So you know what I did? I went and knocked on every radio station's door in the city of Lexington until somebody hired me to essentially mop the floors overnight. because I knew that then I would at least be around the people that are doing the work.
Yeah.
It was the smartest decision I ever made.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why I can honestly say I'm glad I got my education. I had a great experience there.
Yeah.
But it was the things I did mopping the radio station in the middle of the night,
yeah,
earning my way up the ranks, and that led to every situation that's ever happened in my career, not the education, not the classes.
Being the coffee boy at the radio station, if right, you want a radio career, is probably more valuable to
because
you.
Because ask yourself this question, from a radio standpoint, what's more valuable? Listening to a professor who's never done a single day of commercial radio in his life.
Other than be professor.
Or
professorial.
Or getting coffee for these guys with these great big booming voices that have been in the industry for 40 years and listening to the people you admire and listening and watching them actually do radio.
And asking.
And asking
questions. And shadowing.
Yeah.
And going to the program director and saying, why do you do this? How do you do this? And if you've got a good program director or a good radio boss, they're going to take you in some sense under their wing and say, this is why.
But I still don't want to lose track of my original point.
Okay.
And my original point was that there's a shift happening in the workplace, and what we have to be ready for, and this is how any type of education, whether you're sending your kid to college or technical school or whatever, because technical school is not the ultimate answer either.
No, it is part of the answer, though.
The answer is to be mentally flexible, to raise a generation of kids who are flexible enough to never stop learning, because the next generation was Bezos the other day from Amazon said, look,
heard of him.
If you're doing a job right now that can in any way possibly be done with a robot, hey, it needs to be replaced with a robot.
Be ready to change.
Yeah, be ready to change. So what is the future? The future is interpersonal communication skills,
yeah,
and the ability to provide a service for someone that can't be gotten from a machine or a computer.
Isn't that in some sense what you did then? Because you,
yes,
wanted to do this. You were educated to do this. You thought you weren't. You had to change and do it the way it works,
right,
in the real world. So did I. I didn't know what I was going to major
but
in.
But I was prepared by parents and a school system that taught me to be flexible from an education standpoint. Look at survey. We've got to teach kids to think critically from a very early age. Survey the landscape and figure out what are the obstacles to, yeah, success. Now figure out how do I overcome those obstacles. The problem is we're raising a generation of kids now who don't know what an obstacle is. And when they see it, they freak out and they want to either shut it down, cart it off campus, or get rid of it somehow, or just stop.
I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
So I'm going to say a month ago, someone in my life was basically that I am very close with. Okay. It's a friend that I work with. Okay. At one of my jobs at LHC, was basically critiqued. Okay. Now this is a younger person. All right. They were basically critiqued about how they did a project. The way they were critiqued was not inappropriate, nor was it unprofessional.
Right.
It was basically just said, not good enough, do better. They about had a conniption.
Right. Right.
Because they were not ready to be coached.
They've never heard, not,
you know,
good enough, do better.
Yeah, you know the most valuable thing I learned at UK? I love my time over on campus because that was my respite. That was my peace. Because I grew up watching documentaries. I grew up watching nature channels. I grew up curious about the world. And I think that's what you're saying when you're saying, you know what, you've got to be able to continue learning. You've got to always be learning. You've got to be able to adapt, be curious about the world. I learned more. My education at UK was a basketball education because what I learned has been the most valuable thing to me is be coachable. Do not ever take criticism as an insult. That's what children do.
Right.
No matter how the insult is intended, no matter if it's said the right way or the wrong way, don't worry about coaching up the person that said it the way they said it.
Right.
Your job is to say, okay, I don't like how he said it. I don't like what he said. It hurt my feelings. However,
yeah,
I can either turn my back, pout, cry, and say, I don't like how he talked to me, and ignore him. Or as some people do, say, I'll keep doing it my way. Or I can say, do I want to be good or do I want to be great?
Yeah. Well, and I think we're missing, not in everybody, because I don't want to make generalizations, but I think we have a generation that isn't that interested in greatness.
And I don't know that it's necessarily.
It sounds Donald Trump campaign slogan as opposed to an actual, you know.
Because I think what you're trying to do is avoid saying the millennials, and I don't think it's necessarily just the millennials.
No, it's not. Well,
I think
Rowe,
a lot of people.
Well, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs host, remember him?
Yeah.
He had a quote the other day. He said, if we're worried.
Love him, by the way.
Yeah, me too. If we're worried about the snowflakes, we're the clouds from which they fail.
Well said.
And, you know, to that point. But I think there's a cycle going on on college campuses,
yeah,
going back to the politically correct stuff and the lack of critical thinking. That's what's killing critical thinking. I posted on Facebook the other day, the main lessons that Orwell taught us were that the two most effective ways to control people is to control language and context to obscure truth. No group is more ruthlessly efficient at this process than the current environment than the radical left and their promoters on campuses and in the media.
Explain what you mean by context, though, because we were talking about this at lunch, and I thought this was fascinating.
All right, so there's a movie out right now.
Yes.
Called First Man, and Ryan Gosling, a Canadian actor, is playing the lead role in
right.
it. I was very excited about seeing this movie. I'm still going to go see it because it looks amazing. It's getting accolades all over the world. But,
however,
they apparently deliberately left out the scene where Neil Armstrong plants the American flag. And Ryan Gosling was explaining they did it on purpose because the accomplishment transcends countries and boundaries.
And, so they lied.
Right. And I'll actually read you.
What a crock.
Well, and let me read you what I wrote about it again on Facebook. I wrote this. Hollywood intentionally leaves out American flag planting on the moon because, quote, the achievement transcended countries and borders. That's BS. Countries and borders had everything to do with that achievement.
Yes.
To omit the flag planting is not a small thing. It's to omit the important historical context of the achievement. And that is exactly what Hollywood was intending to do. People are a lot easier to control when they have no context. In this case,
or knowledge.
Right. In this case, the context, this particular context means everything. The entire space race was about country versus country, ideology versus ideology. Yep. It was about scientific and military supremacy. And it was about the triumph of American democracy over Russian communism. Armstrong planting the flag was the iconic climax of that battle. It was the triumphant and emphatic declaration that freedom is better than collectivism in every aspect. To omit that part of the story is like buying a kitchen table with three legs.
Does it make sense to you, though, why Hollywood left that out?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Because there's an effort here to undermine the process, the idea of greatness, and the idea if you want to control a society and push them into groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to try to point out a particular ideology here. Everybody knows that you and I tend to lean conservative, but let's both sides of the political spectrum do this. If you can simplify something, take the context out of it, and leave the outrage, you can keep people mad, divided, angry at each other, and you can control them.
This is perfect because this brings us back to where education matters.
Right.
Because if you're going to truly study something, here's what I wish would happen in our country. I wish an education meant I'm going to learn a skill. And I'm going to excel at that skill. And I'm going to go to work every day, and I'm going to do that skill. And I'm going to earn money. And in my free time, I'm going to pursue knowledge.
Yeah,
I wish that would happen. Because what we need is if you're going to spend time studying and getting an education, the part of the education we need in this country and in this world more than anything is history.
Yes.
We need to know what happened. We need to know why the Nazis took over. Mm-hmm. We need to know that Stalin and communism killed more people than Hitler and the Nazis did by far.
Right.
And before
and Mao more than him.
They started doing that.
And Mao and China more than him.
We tried to delete all this stuff
and
say it didn't happen. It never happened. Let me example. You may have been the one that tell me this, and I don't know if this is something you want to talk about on this, but in Poland, did you tell me the thing about Poland? Was that somebody else?
Which thing?
About the raping that went on in Poland in World War II.
No, it wasn't me.
Somebody showed me this. I tell you what. It was my producer, my radio show. There is a statue in Poland, a very graphic statue of a Russian or Soviet Union at the time, military personnel basically raping a woman in Poland. Because what's forgotten about is that as the Russians came through Poland on their way to Germany to fight them back, they raped women. Mm-hmm. They weren't just killing military men of Germany. They raped women. And there is a statue in Poland, and it's very controversial from the Russians. The Russians hate it because it reminds Poland of how many, and this is the word that was used, of how many quote-unquote bastard children there are in Poland
right now
that are 60 years old because they don't know their fathers because their fathers raped these women when they came through in World War II.
So Poland put the statue up as a remembrance for their country to remember what the Russians did to them.
Yes.
Fascinating.
How scary is that, though?
What is scary?
That I did not even realize how bad that happened until, and look, I'm not getting into the whole statue thing, Civil War here. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, I didn't know that. That is a part of history that needs to be known.
Right.
That is a part of history that needs to be thought about. And we're sitting here and we're teaching kids. I'll give you an example. I'm in communication. This is what I do for a living. Whether it's a radio show, whether it's my radio show, 630 WLAP, Sunday night, 7 to 9, or whether it's preaching, I communicate. Okay. Do you know what I got in Com 181 at UK?
A D.
A C.
Okay.
You know why? I got an A on all of my I was going to say my sermons. I got a, they didn't like sermons at UK back in the day. I got an A on all my speeches. I got an F on all my outlines.
Right.
Because I don't like to speak with outlines. I like to get what I'm going to say, and I like to have my outline in my head, but I wouldn't write outlines.
Right, right.
So they failed me on all my outlines. They aced me on all my speeches. They gave me a C in class.
And yet you make your living
communicating. And therefore, I'm an average
today.
Communicator.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, that's the only communication class I had at UK.
I have a similar story. We had to take communications, speech.
Yeah, speech.
Class.
Yeah.
And I did terrible at it.
Yeah.
And yet today I give speeches all over
rigid.
The place. Yeah.
There's
a formula to it.
A formula.
Like, it's like I don't remember any of that formula. I have my own formula
exactly.
for how I present
that
present
works.
Stuff
and here's
now.
The thing, yeah. Leland, if your formula doesn't work, people aren't going to listen.
Right.
And you're going to fail.
Right.
I understand the idea of teaching. I understand the idea. High school education, I get it. But we need to learn skills, and we need to stop thinking that an education ends and begins and dies at a liberal arts institution.
Okay, you just hit it. Skills. And I think that's the point that I was making earlier when I basically was saying we need to be flexible mentally. There's a difference between – I mean, I guess you can say that, okay, there's a skill set. Like we were – driving into the studio here this morning, and on the back of a Lextran bus, they had a sign that said, "If you know more about nuts and bolts than our graphic designers, you should apply." It was a cute ad.
That's good,
right? And it was so basically that there's a group of people out there who have a skill set, and that is that they're mechanically inclined.
It's
okay.
A shrinking
now,
number,
but the buses on Lextran, they're actually different now than they were 10 years ago. The Lextran buses are
now,
they're electric and they're propane. As opposed to diesel and gas.
Right.
Okay. So tomorrow, what are they going to be? Tomorrow, they're probably going to have solar panels.
They may be driving themselves.
Maybe driving themselves. But they're always going to need somebody with a particular skill set. No matter what happens to the robot's always going to have to be fixed by a human.
Yeah.
So when we get into this idea of skills, do you want to train to be a mechanic for lawnmowers? Or do you want to train to be a mechanic? Do you want to have a skill set that says, I can come in here and I can fix things?
Yeah.
Whatever those things might be, I have an understanding of the machinations of how things work versus the understanding of one particular item. So what I'm saying is ultimately we need to be training kids not to pigeonhole themselves. And I think college right now in a lot of ways drives us towards that. You're over here in this group, you're over here in this group, and you're over here in this group. When the economy tomorrow is going to be completely different from what we see it as today.
Well, and let's put it this way. How many students are going – how many kids – after high school, are being pushed towards a liberal arts education. Now, you've got your mechanical engineers, your electrical engineers, your engineers, you got your doctors, lawyers, those people that continue to have, again, back to continuing education units. Why do they have to have CEUs? They have to have CEUs because, as you say, the environment changes.
Right.
Where we are, technology changes, and we have to keep you up to date. If you don't have to have CEUs, your degree in some sense, and I'm sure someone can correct me with this, and I'll listen to it, but it's almost like your degree's a joke.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I've got a degree in psychology from the University of Kentucky. I picked psychology because I'm very analytical. I love to look at people, watch people, how they interact, and think about, I wonder what this has to do with how they were treated as a child. I love doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how that helps me in my job. And I've got to live in this world where I've got to make money. I've got to be an earner.
Right.
Liberal arts education may or may not. You know how many people graduate with a marketing degree and don't get a marketing job?
Right.
I want to read these stats out because you brought this
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah,
earlier.
Go ahead. Yeah.
These stats are simply, this is about the projected fees of tuition, where we're going in the next 33 years. Now, the data is a little dated. It's from 2015, but it's projecting out to 2033. Okay? It's projected four-year average tuition and fees from 2015 to 2033. Right now, 2015, 3 years ago. All right, you've got enrolling today or in 2015, your average private college tuition, $134,600. By 2033, that is projected to cost someone at a private institution, four-year school, $323,900. That's a house.
Wow.
Okay, now, public in-state university, University of Kentucky, but remember, it's only in-state if you live in Kentucky. If you live in Kentucky and you go to Auburn, you're not paying public in-state tuition anymore. So that's left out of this whole thing. Is on average in 2015, you were paying $40,000, okay, for a four-year education. In 2033, you're going to be paying $100,000. All
that's
right,
insane.
Now, this is a two-year community college, breakdown, which this amazes me. This is more expensive. 2 years of community college and 2 years of private education. I don't know why they did that. How many kids go to 2 years of community college and then go to Duke University?
Well, hold on. Actually, there's a trend right now.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a trend right now, and they're moving this way in Kentucky where you could get there's several states that will offer the 2 years of community college for free.
And okay.
And then you go and finish a four-year degree at a major institution.
So two more years at a – but yeah. What is and a that's major supposed institution? That's UK?
Well, yeah, or Duke
so
or wherever you want to go.
So they're going to pay for BCTCS.
Right. And the idea behind that is that that would effectively have the cost of that four-year degree at that university.
Well, and that may
But there still comes the process of what do you do then? You're going to – basically, if you decide to do that in your state – if we do that here in Kentucky, you're basically going to undercut. Who's going to pay then for the first 2 years at UK?
Right.
Nobody will. So they'll all go into the community system.
Right.
Which means that now you'll have this massive operating cost over here, and you'll have no more customers for UK, and then that will make that last 2 years.
Whoa. At UK basketball, there still be. We'll have freshmen out there.
Yeah, you'll have those, but they're not paying for school. Right, they're not paying for school; they're on scholarship. So your paying students will only be your senior, your juniors, and seniors.
Well, they actually are paying for school because the basketball that they play brings in the money that pays for.
Well,
tuition.
It's the way socialism works; the whole system collapses when you do that, and that's kind of my point. Yeah. You know, but let's bring this back home to this point because I think we need to really kind of hone in on why college is a waste of money as a statement.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Obviously, if you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, whatever. You need to go and get a college degree. But
you have to.
I want to bring about a proposal here.
All right.
For how maybe the college of the future should work.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly how to implement this. Believe it or not, I have actually taught at the college level.
Yes, I know.
But I've never been a college administrator. I don't know exactly how to implement this. But I would like to see a shift in education, and I would like to see a shift in corporate world. Let me make these two points, and I want to get your comments on it.
All right.
The shift in education I would like to see is to move more towards that. Let's teach people to be curious and mentally flexible so that they can. So let's build that. Let's go on that, the continuing education model, the CEUs.
Yeah.
Let's have a foundation in a general area that then is designed to be built upon as your career advances and as the things in that change.
If you're in that career.
Yes, but let me give you a perfect example why.
Okay.
When I came into Asbury, the industry that I work in, that you and I both work in, was experiencing a massive change.
Yes.
When's the last time you saw an old reel-to-reel tape?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. When I was going to college.
Actually, I do, but I've never used one. How about that?
One reason why I appreciate my Asbury University degree.
Yeah.
When I was going to college, the shift from analog tape to digital was in full flux.
Gotcha.
But Asbury was one of the few universities that still taught how to use both.
Mm.
So we learned how to edit digitally, but we also learned how to edit analog. Now, what did that do in my mind? It gave me I understood the foundation of what the new digital was. So now the new kids that are coming in, they've only ever known digital.
Yeah.
They don't know analog. But they don't know that digital is simply a picture of analog.
Right.
Now, when you understand those two things, you suddenly become mentally flexible. You understand the broader goal behind delivering the message in audio, and it changes how everything works, right? So because I learned with that flexibility, it was easy peasy for me to adapt to new types of systems throughout the evolution of my career here.
So do you think colleges now are doing that? Let's take that for example. You just mentioned Asbury is a perfect example of they taught you both. Do you think, let's say, and it's a perfect example for me as someone who loves photography. If I were to take a photography class at the University of Kentucky, it's more than likely going to be a digital photography class.
Right.
They're going to give me DSLRs, and I'm going to learn how to deal with the ISO. I'm going to have to learn how to deal with shutter speed. I'm going to learn how to deal with aperture. I'm going to learn how to deal with all that stuff as far as getting everything the way I want it for the picture I'm going to take, okay? Do you think they're going to teach me how to do black and white? Do you think they're going to teach me how to do film photography? And I'm genuinely asking this because I don't know.
I don't either.
Because here's the thing. When I got into photography 10 years ago, all there was digital photography. That's all there was. I itched to understand and to know.
Going into a dark room?
Yes.
Yeah.
For a hundred years,
that's
photography was in the dark room. Photography was with film.
Yeah, with Robin Williams in there looking at your pictures when you were in your underwear, you know, like, and you didn't even know it.
I know that's a movie reference. I don't know which one it was.
I forget the name of the movie, but he was a creepy guy.
If you can't come up with a reference, then you can't use it.
I can't remember the title of the movie, but he was a creepy guy that was looking at your at people's pictures and then stalking them.
All right, I feel uncomfortable right now. So anyway, so when you go back to – I wanted to know.
I never trusted the guy at the photo booth at CVS. I never trusted him.
It's good. Brings us back to the old Seinfeld episode. I left some special in here for you. So when you so if I were to take a photography class, when I started getting into photography on my own,
right?
Because I was curious, I started going back and studying film. I started studying aperture. I started studying IOS. I started studying shutter speed. I started learning how all those three things together would put the exact perfectly balanced, I'm forgetting the word right now and I should know it, exposure. There we go. Yeah. The exposure was perfect so that it wasn't overblown. It wasn't too dark. It was perfect, but I had to have everything balanced. I had to learn how to do that on my own. I did not learn that by buying a DSLR. DSLR had an automatic setting on it. Until I started getting into film, I did not learn how to take great pictures on my DSLR.
Most important question on this, because this I still want to make my other point about where the other change I want to see happen.
Okay,
but this we're talking about the changes we want to see in education.
Yeah,
where did you get that curiosity from, and where should it come from, and how can
to
we?
Me,
right, because
to me, it should always come from parents.
Okay.
Always come from parents. It should come from growing up in an environment where your parents don't answer every question for you. Your parents say, why don't you find out?
Okay.
Why don't you look it up?
Step one.
Why don't you do an experiment?
Right.
My parents bought me a microscope. My parents bought me chemistry sets. My parents bought me all kinds of tinker toys. I mean, that's engineering. I mean, and a lot of parents do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, and I don't want to get into this, oh, nowadays they're all on video games, because you can even learn from video.
Yeah.
My mom used to tell me all the time, and we still argue about this, that I didn't read enough, and by not reading enough, I was going to have a failed vocabulary. What is the difference? As long as you understand context and watching documentaries and reading a book, you're still learning.
Right.
Put that stuff in your head and have knowledge. And I love that. That's why I love all my Hulu, all my Netflix, everything is nothing but documentaries, because I just find that stuff fascinating.
Right. So your curiosity comes from your parents.
I think so.
And so that's step one. Step one is to get the parents to teach
kids
to be curious.
Certainly the first opportunity.
So step two then is to get the colleges to start teaching in a more flexible manner, as opposed to learn these four things in these 4 years.
And regurgitate them.
And you now are prepared for a career. Let's teach people how to learn. This is my point. We need what you talked about with your parents. Your parents taught you how to learn. They gave you a desire to learn.
And I was a bad learner, by the way. Or at least I was a bad student.
But they gave you a desire to learn.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. So the parents have to give the kids a desire to learn. The school has to teach. The environment in college needs to further inspire that desire to learn. And here's the third, and this is the most important thing I think needs to change in this whole process, because the colleges won't change until this changes. The corporate world.
Okay.
The corporate world is the one that's going to be saying, we don't need these people anymore. We're going to go with this robot.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's going to happen in the future. Okay. The corporate world has got to drop this ridiculous idea that they only hire somebody with a 4-year college degree.
Yes, they do.
They have got to come. Am I boring you?
No, sorry.
They have to come to terms with the idea of hiring workers who have the skills and mental flexibility to learn new things. So I don't care what your degree
is. And learn them on the job.
Right. And if your degree is in psychology, but you have this incredible flair for getting people to show up at events, then you can be a great marketing director.
Yeah.
You know,
Or you can say things the right way at the right time. You've got your 2-minute speech. You have charisma. You've got enthusiasm. And that's what we're missing, a lot of enthusiasm, because I think a lot of people, they're going through these 4 years of education. They're getting this so-called piece of paper called a degree. And now we're turning them loose and there's no jobs.
Right. They're in the mom and dad's basement. Because there isn't something available for them.
And not only that, even if there is a job available for them, it's not a job that a $100,000 education merits.
Right.
Because you got to start over. Let's go back to Hunter. Hunter just graduated from my intern and my co-host on my radio show. And he's learning how to be – he's learning how to run a radio board, okay? Hunter graduated from school of journalism. He is now basically doing mop-up duty because it's his first job. He is paying his dues. And there's no sense of kids or people understanding that you got to pay your dues. You got to do the menial stuff to earn the right to do the great stuff.
Here's my final thought on it, and I want to get your comments on this. Here's what I think is missing from the college education. And there's going to be a lot of people that don't think this fits.
I know.
And I don't really care.
I know. But you never care about anything.
The key to being flexible mentally and wanting to learn is to have an entrepreneurial spirit.
Okay.
Now, being an entrepreneur doesn't mean that you start the next pizza chain.
Nor does it mean you go to Starbucks for 5 hours with your laptop.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Have you ever been? Well, what do you do?
I'm an entrepreneur. Yes.
What have you ever created?
Right.
Well, I've got several things in the hopper.
But there is a guy I follow on social media who, like, his slogan is create great. And that's all he does. He creates content. Mm. That's what he does.
Okay.
He creates something. That's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurs are flexible. Because Jeff Bezos said that, you know, there was someone asked him why, like what was the secret to Amazon's success?
Look how much it's changed.
I know. Well, this is the point.
Oh, my bad.
This is the point. When someone asked him what is the key to their success, he said focus on the things that don't change. Mm. Now, look at how much Amazon has changed.
Yes.
But you know what they're still doing? They're still doing the same thing.
They're just finding new ways.
The original thing is people want a good quality product at a decent price fast.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos understood that.
And not only that, but they're
now he's taking over the freaking world.
They're finding out what a quality product is. It's not necessarily a CD player. How about that? An MP3 player.
Right.
They'll deliver your Tide.
Right.
They'll deliver your non-perishable goods.
But here's the point. An entrepreneur focuses on the things that don't change while being flexible with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Teaching that mindset in colleges is almost taboo right now.
I'll finish by saying this. Okay. Back to the original story I was starting because I never finished it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault.
I want to hear about these old men that told you what to do with your college degree.
I got sidetracked with just getting frustrated with this whole thing. Because you and I have talked about this ad nauseum so many times because we're so irritated by what we mean when we say education in this country anymore. But two things I will say this. Number one, have you ever heard of edX.com?
No.
Look it up. Everyone look up edX.com because when we start talking about what a free education is, edX is a free education. You can take college classes from Harvard, from Yale, from Princeton, from University of Chicago, Look, I want you to read through that. It's brilliant. Okay, here's the deal. Now, here's how this works.
Free classes.
From Berkeley. You can take – that's your free education, Leland. But here's the deal. You can take it free. But here's the thing. If you want proof that you passed, then you pay and you get a certificate. That, to me, is how it should be. That is brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
I love that idea.
I'm bookmarking this as we speak.
The idea that the universities are signing off
they kind of stole FedEx's logo. I think they're going to get sued.
All right,
sued.
Fine. Another deal for another time. We can talk about logos and trademark law later on. But the idea that the universities are basically allowing their lessons.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
They are. So not to hammer on the universities and colleges, but they are allowing. Here's your free education, guys.
Right.
But here's the thing. When we say free education, what does that mean? And so let me go back to my story. So I had these gentlemen who they would ask me after I got done playing basketball at UK, they would say, hey, what year did you graduate? What they were asking me is what year were you done playing? They didn't care that I graduated. They didn't care what year I graduated.
Right.
Nobody does. They care about, hey, what year did you get done playing? Because I have a hard time remembering, what year did Tayshaun Prince play? I can't remember when it was. So that's what they want to know. What years did you play, Cameron? So I say, well, and I never wanted to lie about it, nor did I ever proudly. I said, well, my last year playing basketball was 98. But at the time, these two gentlemen were talking to me, I didn't have my degree yet.
Right.
I said I graduated or I got done playing in 98. And I said, but to be honest with you, I haven't gotten my degree yet. I've got 1 3-hour Spanish class that I haven't completed that I need to. Both of them got indignant. And this one gentleman said, son, that's no good. I said, why not? I said, you need your education. I said, whoa. Sir, I've got 143 hours of 137-hour degree. Why don't I already have my education? You're talking about a piece of paper that the university gives me that says, now you have your education.
Right, right.
That's what got me fired up.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have an education? Does it mean the university signs off on it and gives you a piece of paper? Because honestly, and this is the sad truth, that's all anyone really cares about. It's not the knowledge. It's not the critical thinking. It's not the willingness to know history and not to repeat it. It's that piece of paper that says, now I can get a good job. Yeah.
Well,
I got a job mowing lawns when I was 12 years old. I didn't need an education for that.
I have a similar story, although I got my degree in half the time you did. So there,
you
7
know
years.
I just enjoyed the learning experience.
This is funny. I needed, for my communications degree, I needed 6 credit hours, which included 3 PE hours.
Yes, sir. Got to communicate physically.
And 3 Bible class hours.
Okay, good.
Now, what exactly do those 6 hours have to do with communication?
This is liberal arts. Well-rounded.
Exactly.
I had to have Spanish. I had to have language. Now, I like that. degree in psychology, they wanted me to have language.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there's a correlation there somewhere.
Well,
and my whole story was basically I had already had 3 years of Spanish, and they said you can have three of one and two of another. So I wanted to take Greek. So I took Greek, failed it miserably, 17% of the class, lowest percentage ever handed out in the in the classics department.
Right. But see, I took those last 6 hours when I got an opportunity. I took a PE class at UK and a Bible class at Georgetown.
When I got an opportunity.
When it was free.
Yes.
Well, when I could transfer them in. I took those classes.
How is PE
Hold
not
on a second.
Always free?
The only reason I took those classes was the attitude of the gentleman you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew that it was possible the person hiring me
would have the same attitude.
But here's the thing. When I walked across the stage at my alma mater to get my degree at the graduation ceremony, they made me promise, come back this summer and take these 6 hours.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? After I walked across the stage, I got offered a job at one of the biggest communications companies in this region of the country.
Uh-huh.
And I had a choice. Take that job.
Now.
Or go over here and do a Bible class and a PE class and then hope for the best.
So, okay.
I took the job.
Let me retell your story then because I misheard you then. So you didn't have your degree.
No.
What was the walk across the stage thing?
They let me walk on the promise come back and take the class, but I didn't.
They did the same thing to
but
me.
But I didn't, and then it was 7 years before I could come back and finish it up.
Somebody saw your talent, gave you a job, didn't care if you had a degree.
And all of it, not because of the classes, but because of the work I had been doing when I made that original decision to go out and work in the real world.
The point is, you had an education, you didn't have a degree. And
but
those
I
are
knew,
two distinct different things,
right.
Except... Okay, and actually, I'm even going to amend this. I was going to say, except when it comes to lawyers, doctors, engineers, where you know they have to know what they're doing, or people are going to die, right?
Sure, sure.
Okay, maybe not lawyers, but nonetheless,
part of that certification is what assures us that they have.
Let me ask
a
question: if you had someone, and this is it's kind of on topic, but it's more curious than anything else. Would you be okay having a surgeon operate on you who never had any education but aced the test?
No, what I would look at is how many people have had the surgery before under him.
I'm not offering you that opportunity.
No, I'm just saying I would look at the result.
These are the two variables with this question. He aced the he.
Oh,
he
okay. I see what you're saying. I want the education.
You would rather him have the education.
I don't care about the test. I want the education.
Okay, what if he failed all the education classes but aced the test?
That seems kind of weird to me.
I know.
Because that seems to me that he doesn't have the education.
He aced the test.
Right.
He got all the questions
The paperwork
he knows
is worth,
what he's doing.
It's worth nothing
he
to me.
He knows what he's doing.
No, he doesn't. He guessed, and he guessed appropriately.
First of all, you cannot guess at the – was it the MCAT? You cannot guess at the MCAT. Actually, that's to get into medical school, I think. But you cannot guess at a license
Your question's
exam.
A trick question. Are you asking –
Of course it
hold
is.
On a second. Are you asking me, would I rather a doctor who had lots of experience and didn't look so good on paper, or would I have rather a doctor who had looked really good on paper and had no experience?
Kind of. Here's what I'm asking you. You've got a doctor straight out of school.
Okay.
Except he never went to school, but he took the licensing exam to say, now this is not how they do it, right? You've got years of fellowship. You've got oversight by other doctors. They sign it. But at some point, you've got to take a clinical exam. At least the nurses do. Okay. I assume the doctors do. So let's take a nurse. Would you rather have a nurse helping you, working on you, triaging you in surgery with you that had never taken a nursing class at all, but she aced the licensing
right.
exam,
well,
which
I'm,
meant she has all the knowledge, but she never gotten the quote-unquote education.
I'm giving you a trick answer. My test
That's
for
not allowed.
No, but my test for her is, does she have the knowledge? So what is her record?
Well, if she aced the test.
I don't care about how she did in school.
So here we
I
go.
Care about how she did in
so
the real world.
This is the point. So she aced the test, therefore she would have gotten the degree.
Okay.
Whether she got the knowledge
Again,
or not.
I'm not looking at her degree. I'm looking at her record.
That's my point.
Well, it's my point, too.
But it's my point first.
Okay, you can have it first. No, I mean, what I'm getting at here, though, is that, I mean, you and I have the same story.
You want someone that knows what they're doing.
But
how do we decide they know what they're doing?
Right, but the emphasis I'm trying to make is that we need businesses and employers to drop this idea that the only person who has a skill set is someone who has that piece of paper.
Right.
I don't really care, you know... I've known people before. My dad is a perfect example.
Yes, he is.
He has an enormous amount of skills. He drove me out here to northern Jessamine County, where he built one of the first passive solar houses in the state of Kentucky back in the late 1970s. This house is still beautiful today, and it's still standing. And my dad not only built it, he designed it.
Yeah.
So he did it all.
You have a degree?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, he has a degree, has a college degree. But you know what his college degree is?
What's his college
degree in? Ministry. He's in, and let me tell you something else he did. He managed a tribal-owned, on the reservation where I grew up,
right.
He managed the tribal-owned, government-owned construction company. He took it over when it was over $100,000 in the hole because
yeah.
somebody had been doing some wrong stuff with the money. And
right.
at the end of year one, he had turned $1 million profit
yep.
for the reservation's government. And his degree is in ministry.
Yep.
But he has a skill set. And he
and therefore had to have a curiosity before, or he
right.
would not have ever
but
attained
he
that
started,
skill set.
He started,
or,
do you know how he started, though? Building his own fence around the house my parents
yeah.
bought in Danville in the 1960s. And
yeah.
some guy came up and said, wow, you're doing good work. Could you do mine?
Yeah.
He goes, okay. And that's how my dad started.
Kind of,
yeah.
The best kind of sales referral you ever get.
From there on, he built an entire building career to coincide right. with his ministry
so
career.
So let's back up and let's make sure everyone understands what we're not saying.
Right.
We are not saying education doesn't matter.
No.
We're trying to define what is an education.
Yeah.
And is an education what you get at the University of Kentucky or Transylvania University? It might be. And there are certainly parts of an education you get. And they certainly are giving an education. But what most people say when they say, do you have your education, is what? What are they really asking? Do you have that piece of
you
paper?
Yeah, the piece of paper. Yeah.
And that's what bothers me.
So let's review real quick. We have three things. Parents need to do a better job of teaching their kids to be intellectually curious and
yes,
flexible.
Yes.
Schools need to continue that on.
Mm-hmm.
And companies need to find a way to look for skill sets rather than paper sets.
And I will add this, and I know you're not as big on this as I am, but we also we have to open the doors to technical schools again.
No, I agree with that.
We have shut the doors on technical schools.
No, I agree with that.
Everyone go get a liberal arts education. As a result, we have
no
one that knows how to weld and make six figures.
I think as long as you're intellectually curious, right now if you can make $80 an hour welding, go make $80
an hour
welding.
Do you know what I would do right now this afternoon if I could weld? I would go build something. It would have no purpose whatsoever, but it would feel good.
So you would build like an ostrich statue?
No, probably not ostrich statue. I'd like to think quick story. I built one Thanksgiving years ago. I got plans on the internet and built a work table. It was from scratch. I built it out of 2x4s, 4x4s, and a door that had no hole in it. Okay. I went to Lowe's and bought a door. It is the most valuable piece of furniture I own because I built it from scratch by myself.
I love it.
No one taught me. Dad wasn't there. My dad's dad was a carpenter. He built houses. Dad wasn't there. Mom was there. Nobody. I did it on my own, and it was a boring weekend. It was Thanksgiving. I was by myself. I thought, I'm going to build this. It is my favorite thing I've ever done.
That's awesome. Intellectually curious. All right. Thanks, Cameron Mills. I'm Leland Conway, The Disruption Zone.